Ah, normal type theme music. I don't, you know, every once in a while I actually pick the right song. You know, yeah, that's, it's supposed to be, but I don't know, he's talking a lot, he's supposed to be singing more, and I don't know what. Yeah, going fishing. Okay, Fishing Frank here, Radio Fishing. I think you probably understood that this was going to be me. But we need to, Elvin, be quiet. Okay, hang on. All right. Now, we have got Ryan Boley in the chair opposite me today. Morning, Ryan.
Good morning.
And I got to tell you, what is, you know, nothing's working today. Oh, there they are. You got to wake the studio audience up, you know. Ryan Bowling, what's the name of your realty group?
I'm with Hammerhead Realty Group, but I work out of Keller Williams in Punta Gorda.
Yeah, see, they love you. They love you, guy. You know, our studio audience, just wave to them and they'll calm down. Okay, hang on. All right, guys, enough. I know, he's exciting. It's Ryan. You know, we get that. Be good. Okay, you know, the studio audience, I mean, when people up in the bleachers were applauding, you know, it's amazing.
Quite the crowd you have here this morning, yes. I'm very impressed.
Can you imagine somebody there up there thinking, you know, and if they ever saw this, imagine, you know, I was sitting here and I did a radio show with Gary Loomis, and he was in the back and we were eating pizza and we had a little sip of some homemade concoctions, and you know, we come back, we're doing a show. I can't imagine what they say when they go back to their offices about this place.
No, it's quite the experience. I won't say what it's like, but it is quite the experience. Not what you would expect, maybe a Howard Stern or don't see it happening anywhere else like this.
So anyway, Ryan is a fisherman. He's a real estate salesman, and you guys actually, you were telling me you guys pick one day a year, and what do you call it?
Red Day. My company, Keller Williams, takes one day a year, and the whole company shuts down, and we basically give back to the community.
I thought that was pretty cool. It's a great idea.
Yeah, we have, you know, we have thousands of agents nationally, but our particular office... we have two locations in Punta Gorda and in Port Charlotte, but we have, I think, 109 agents, and each year on May the 8th, we all stop what we're doing, close the doors, shut down business, and just give back.
So now, you guys built a Habitat for Humanity house?
Last year, we sent several crews to several different Habitat for Humanity locations and worked on houses or in their shops, and the year before that we worked at the Octagon. It's a wildlife sanctuary. They have a lot of big cats and bears and cleaned up there. It's the only day that I can ever say that I told my wife when I got home, I said, I went to work today and my sunglasses got ate by a bear and I got peed on by a lion. That's the truth.
Yeah, I can honestly say you've got me beat. I've never had my sunglasses eaten by a bear, and quite honestly, never had a lion. Now, does an ocelot count? I don't think so. That's like a smaller, weird cat.
I'm sure it smells the same. It was awful.
Yeah, I did have one of those go on me one time, but that's pretty cool. It's nice when a company actually says, okay, this is it. This is something we're going to do for everybody else. Now, this year, you're going to do a harbor cleanup.
Yeah, this year, you know, a lot of us in the office are boaters. Many of us have kayaks, and, you know, obviously we sell a lot of waterfront property. And,
Oh, that's all right.
Technical difficulty.
It's okay. If you need to answer it, I can pause this. We can
no,
get
it's
back.
Okay. I didn't even know it was on.
In this show, people walk by, we talk to them, you know. They're used to it.
But, anyhow, this year... being as we are a lot of boaters and sell a lot of waterfront property, and it's a good excuse to spend the day on the water, we're going to put people in the canals and along the shorelines. Some of us are going to take boats out to the islands and look for fishing line, bobbers, trash, empty bait boxes, sunken boats, you know, treasure, whatever we can find. Just clean up the harbor and spend the day on the water.
But that's a great idea, and that's a nice thing to give back. And you haven't got to be able to, you're pretty busy. I mean, a real estate agent goes, you know, you run a lot, but you got a chance to go out fishing last weekend.
Yes, we were out on the Pegasus Reef. Man, I hate to even say where I was, but
I was. Oh man, I was sitting there going, so many miles out, and yeah, you're calling the shot.
Yeah, I'm telling. Those other guys that are out there fishing the other boats are going to be upset, but the Amberjack, they were circling everywhere. Best day for AJ's I've had in a long time. We were hooking up right and left, and they were all big ones.
Now, are you seeing any permit out there?
No, not that day. AJ's and Barracuda.
Well, that's enough.
Yeah, that was it.
You don't need more than that, actually. Is that Ryan stopped in. He's picking up another pen reel and heading out to do battle. That to me is an AJ reel. I mean, that you're hooking up there. That's Squall 40. Is that what it? That's what it's all about.
That's actually exactly why I bought it. I do have the Avid. I love the Avid, but I was getting smoked by some of those big AJs, and I wanted something with a little bit more horsepower. So I believe that 40 is a little bit bigger.
Well, if it's not, we'll take care of it. We'll trade it back. We'll get you a bigger one. Yeah. You know, I mean, if that one doesn't work, I know we can find a bigger one. I know there's another one. So we'll get that. Now, when you're fishing for the Amberjacks out there, now, are you freelining, bottom, floats?
I'll tell you what we did. We actually caught a bunch of squirrel fish and went out, and they were live and frisky, but they would not hit them at all. I dropped my bait pole down to the bottom and hooked up some of those small, what are they, gray grunts?
Yeah.
Is that what they are?
French grunts, gray grunts, yeah.
Pulled them up, and I mean, as soon as they got to the top of the water, rehooked them and dropped them back down about halfway in the water column, there'd be a live squirrel fish right beside it. They I don't think anybody caught one on a squirrel fish. They were hitting those gray grunts just immediately. The friskier, the better.
And, you know, I preach all the time at the different seminars and all that. If you're not willing to change, you're probably not going to catch fish all the time.
Yeah.
The more consistent you're catching fish is because more consistently you change. If this isn't working, look around. Figure the next one out. Because sometimes it's as simple as putting the hook from one end of the bait to the other. Sometimes you literally have to do a different bait. And that was a great idea. Go down, get some of those little grunts, and I usually use about a 2-aught hook when I'm doing those grunts and stuff. You know, not real small, but not big.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, we were using, I think it was 2, and I'll tell you what, there was even some that were hooked up on 6-aughts. We had grouper,
wow,
you know, on grouper rods that we just didn't switch over, and they thought, well, we'll try it on this. And you know, but yeah, they were slamming those grunts.
And as soon as you get them up, then you rehook them, just drop them straight down, but not all the way to the bottom.
Yeah, about halfway down in the water column, and I'll tell you what, they liked them so much. I'm not a rookie, but I did have a pole hanging over the boat with the grunt just dangling in the water, and I just about lost a rod. You know, they were coming up for them.
I can tell you, it's the first rule, and one of the hardest rules to learn, is when you're putting a bait right there next to the boat, is to remember to turn the drag down. Get the drag off that reel, or you're gonna lose something, because you can't have a fish 90 pounds hitting a bait 2 feet from the boat in full strength and not expect things to go bad.
Well, I'll tell you this. I know I said the weekend before last was the last time I went fishing, but I forgot I was actually fishing last Saturday too. It was shark fishing in the pass. It was me and 4 other guys, and put a
well, the shark's in the water. Yeah, people get scared.
Put a
I told you, I tried to warn you, I was not going to be right.
We put a pin rod on top of the bimini top. It was not my regular boat. Forgot about it. Another boat came by, rocked the boat. The rod hit the water, and I had my hat and my glasses on, and not a good idea. But over the side I went, I caught it before it got out of sight. Yep. Yeah, it was a great idea. It was a great idea until I got to think about it.
Then isn't that exactly what goes through your head? I don't care who you are. If you grew up in this era, you jump in the water on Boca and pass, and the first thing in the back of your mind is, don't.
Hey, you're not lying. It was a great idea. As soon as I got the rod, I couldn't get back in the boat fast enough. I'm sitting there thinking, oh, God, we got 2 chum bags out.
It's just weird because, you know, I've done it, and I've gone just instinctively, throw the wallet on the deck, dive in the water, and nowadays the wallet and the cell phone, but, you know, dive in the water, grab the thing, and now I've got it in my hand, and I'm like, what am I doing? Yep. This was probably my least good idea of the day.
Yep. Had three guys on the boat with me, and all of them are standing there looking at me like I'm an idiot, and none of them even threw the ladder back down for me to get out. You know,
just, they made you come and hang on the side of the boat. Come on, guys, put the ladder down. Oh, what are you doing in the water?
I think they were just shocked at my stupidity, I guess.
Well, you know, we could form a club. Yeah, because I've done that. I'm out there, threw my cast net, and it was a almost brand new cast net. I mean, I probably had it 3 days, and I threw it, and the line came off my wrist. And I dive in, and as soon as I hit in the water, I'm following that line down towards the bottom. I finally grab it. Now I'm starting to come up, and I'm feeling the net pulling. And there had been sharks, tarpon, and I'm thinking, okay, I've just grabbed this net, 10-foot net. There's no telling what's in this net. And now I'm swimming back to the surface with it. Yeah.
Hey, I've got a question for you. We shark fished all day in the past. I know they're starting to move in as the tarpon are coming in, but all we caught, not a single run on a shark, big gag grouper all day long.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not a big problem, you know. I mean,
no, it wasn't a problem.
Yeah, I'm not a big for shark fishing in the past unless there's, you know, like tarpon there and I'm drifting, but I'm keeping my baits pretty high, way up in the middle of the water, not so much down towards the bottom. But you're better off in the past 5 to 10 o'clock at night. That's when you're really going to see that shark thing go off. But during the middle of the day, it's not where I'm going to go. I'll come inside, go more towards Devilfish or over towards Cayo Costa on the inside. If you go south about a quarter mile, you know where that big flat is as you're going down the intercoastal south from Boca Grande Pass? You get that whole shoal that goes along that east side.
Right along Cayo Costa?
Yeah, you got Cayo Costa on your right. You've got that real shallow sandbar that follows all the way down. It looks like open water, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
If you get down right to kind of where the island and that point together, I fish off that side of the intercoastal right there, staggering results. And especially where that, my brain is going to mush. What's the real expensive island down there? Not Mondongo, but right across from Cabbage Keep.
I don't know the name.
Yusepa.
I know where all the boats, the big
Yusepa.
Boats are, yeah.
Okay. As you're going down, there's the first channel that goes around behind Yusepa. I'm about a half mile north of that, and on that same side. And if you're coming from Cabbage Key north, it's on the right. As soon as you go past that other channel, just get off in there, and that is staggeringly good shark fishing. And there are 4 to 6 footers hang out there.
Yeah,
a lot of fun on normal tackle. Now the big ones, you're waiting until they got big food. Once the pass is full of big tarp, and that's when those big sharks come in.
But well, I know some of those tarpon are there year round, but the other day we saw probably a dozen roll and, you know, maybe 3 or 4 jump. So I know they're coming in.
Oh yeah, no, the tarpon are there, but it's kind of hit and miss. You go out there one day and there's a few tarpon, go out there next, there's none, and it's gonna just kind of stagger up. You're gonna have okay to fair to bad to good to fair to, you know, and it's gonna stagger its way up to great. But really consistent second week of April. That's when you're really going to start seeing more consistent tarpon, which means more consistent shark.
I was surprised how many boats were out there already. I mean, I know it was a nice day, but pretty soon you'll be able to walk across them.
Yeah, but we want to make sure Boca Grande stays open to, because they're talking about closing Boca Grande Pass to fishing because of the whole spawning grounds when the Save the Tarpon people started arguing with the PTTS and they started fighting back and forth. Well, the mention of spawning has come up so many times, and so now the state's actually thinking about closing Boca Grande Pass to fishing. I want it left open for the simple reason it keeps all of them in one spot.
Yeah, at least you know.
I know where they are.
Right,
they're not up here. They're not out of the beach. They're all right there.
Yeah, at least you can identify them. They're
all right there. It keeps them in one place. And I like going to the pass one day a year. You know, I go there. It's like going to NASCAR.
That's That's right.
You know, it's exciting. It's heart pounding. You got all this stuff going on, the boats and the this and the fish and all that. It's great for me for once. I really enjoy doing it once a year.
When I have family or friends visiting, I make sure that I take them out there just to show them, hey, y'all, look at this.
Yeah, look at this. This is NASCAR fishing right there. I mean, it is just wild, fast, crazy. Boats, bumper boats. I mean, it's all about that. But to me, I like the fact they're all one spot. You know, you got all these, the guys doing this type of fishing here, you got the other ones over here, and they all kind of have the same thing, you know, and it's really nice. They've all found a home.
Yeah.
And it's not in the harbor. That's what I like best.
I agree with you. It's definitely a sight to see.
Yeah, I love it out there. But anyway, are you a big tarpon fisherman?
Not so much. I do occasionally. I like to shark fish, and I like to fish offshore. I like to fish for the fish set. I like to fish for those bull sharks is what I do. I like to hook them, reel them in, take a picture of them, and release them.
Now, once the tarpon season hit, my best bull shark fishing of all time is I'm going out the pass, I go off on the left towards Johnson Shoals, and you're going to have some sandbars, and then it gets deeper, 6-8 feet again back in there. And if you can get back in that little hole, there has been some of the most amazing bull sharks I've ever seen or ever caught right there. And as you're going out, you'll see how it gets real shallow, and then it gets deep behind that again.
Uh-huh.
And the neat part about it is you literally watch them come out of the pass across that shallows where they can just, they might got 2 inches of water over their fin, and then they drop down in this deep hole again, and then they're yours. And that is exciting because you're literally get to pitch at them with the, you know, live baits or just have your dead bait sitting along the bottom there.
What's your preferred way to catch a bull shark, live bait or cut bait, or do you chum them up? Any particular type of chum?
Chum I do a lot of. If I'm really on my game and I really have it all together, I'm going to go out and get some mullet, and fresh mullet, you know, just kept on in ice and water, and then go out there. I chum with the mullet and fish with the mullet. Because I've always believed I'm chumming with, if you're walking down the street and you smell somebody on a barbecue grill cooking a steak, does it make you want a hot dog? You smell it.
I guess that's a good idea. Never looked at it that way.
You know, when I think about the smell of the chum, I figure if they show up, it's because they're looking for that. So I always like to chum and fish with the same thing, but it's close enough as long as you're chumming with fish and using fish for bait. That's usually a pretty good thing. But if I can get everything to be the same, that to me is always the best. But any kind of fish and crab mixture stuff, the best chum I've seen for sale is still that stuff in the green box from Aylesworth, that 5-pound or 7-pound box, and that tournament chum. I've seen that do better than anything. Now, I know the what's that, Bloodstream?
Yeah, I see a lot of people using that now.
Mallory says that's just the best of the best. Now, I can't personally attest to that, but the one thing I know about Mallory is she's incapable of lying. If she says it works, it works. I believe that. But I haven't had the chance to use it. I've still been using that. The last time I
like the tournament chum myself, but however, that chum that smells like the licorice, that seems to be the favorite of everybody that fishes on my boat. Hey, smell this chum. Everybody's smelling the chum bag.
Well, out of all the studies they've ever done, now I know for a fact gulp was not included in this study, so it's unfair. Gulp is a unknown entity in this, but every study ever done up until prior to when gulp came out, anise oil, the stuff you put in the cookies, the licorice smell, number one fish attractor of all time.
Hey, that's odd you say that. I've been a hunter for a long time. I hunted everything from grouse in Michigan to alligators in Florida. You know, I've got my permits and stuff to do that. But for bears in different parts of the country, that's a big attractant, is that anise oil was sprayed on the trees or put it in bait in areas that you're allowed to bait.
Right. I mean, it just makes sense though. Who doesn't like something sweet?
Yeah. And everybody likes the way that licorice smells.
Yeah, you know, I mean, black licorice, I'm not exactly on board with the flavor of it, but every once in a while it's still good. But literally, when you start smelling that, it is a very enticing smell. And I was surprised I didn't know the hunting aspect of it. I know about it from fishing. I've read all the studies from all the universities, all these different studies that people have done over the years. But consistently, time after time after time, number one fish attractant, number one getting more hits for a lure. And
do you remember that that picture, that big hog that I sent to you a while back? It was a guy, giant hog, yep, in your face. There was a I had a trail camera out, and I was just attempting to get some pictures, and there was a little bit of that same licorice smell in the ground that he was originally coming into.
Wow.
And he was a monster, over 400 pounds.
No, that's it's kind of weird how animals are animals. Mm-hmm. I know you could attract me with that licorice scent. I mean, literally, if you put that up and I'm walking through a room, I mean, we'll have to try that. We'll go out. I'll see if I've got some. And we'll put it on the wall, just like over one corner.
See who sniffs
it. And watch when people walk by and see if they, you know, hey, let's see if it works in humans. This could be fun.
This conversation's really taking a turn.
Oh, no, this is normal. this is absolutely radio fishing. There's, you know, but I mean, it would be interesting. It would be fun. Let's see if we can bait up a few humans. I mean, I don't think they're going to go over and rub their nose in it, but I still wonder if it would give them pause, you know?
Yeah, very good. I'm sure it would.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I warn you, I'm not right. You know, it's just, but I got to do it now. I mean, I've got to do it. I'm going to, or if I don't have any out there, I'm going to order some and see if it works. But anyway, so give me the name of your business.
Okay. I'm with Keller Williams Realty, and Punta Gorda is where my office is located, but we're in Charlotte County. We have one office, two locations, Port Charlotte.
Now you're starting to sound like Fish and Frank. I have one office, but we have two locations.
Right. I get, it's hard to say it that way, but I get in trouble if I don't.
I understand. But there is a half of your office in Port Charlotte and a half of your office in Punta Gorda.
Right, because we service all of Charlotte County. And just a rundown again, on May the 8th, our company is shutting down. And we're going to our
just for the day, folks. They're not closing up.
Right,
just one
just for the day.
Hey, you got to be careful. Do you know? Every time I have a sale and we start getting ready and we're putting stuff on pegboards, are you going out of business, Frank? Yes. Yeah, I won't be here tomorrow. Sorry, I'm done. So I always make sure, because every time I turn around, somebody's telling me I'm going out of business.
And I'll tell you what. Our home base for that day is going to be behind the Lashley Crab House there by the where the picnic shelter is.
What time are you guys going to gather up there?
I think we'll be gathering there about 9 o'clock in the morning. And anybody from the community or anybody who wants to volunteer, you know, just show up.
Come on down. Yeah. Now, what you can do is the picture by this radio segment is of Ryan with one of these monster barracuda. I think it's a barracuda. Is it a king?
No, it's a barracuda.
Barracuda, I thought it was, but you know, I'm getting old. You never know. Click on that picture. And that's going to take you to his website, and you'll be able to see all about it. Or he's listed under the friends thing on our friends page. That's why it's under the friends thing, right? Mm-hmm. Local business is what I call it now.
Right, and even if they can't do that they can, of course, go to your site and find me that way. Or they can just Google my name, Ryan Boley at Keller Williams in Punta Gorda, Florida.
There you go. But if they're listening to this, it's right next to the thing, so they could just click that.
Yeah,
you don't
easy.
Have to Google. If you could just go, if you move your mouse a half inch to the left, where you're going to get us.
Yeah, that's the easiest way. Go to Fish and Frank's.
Yeah, just click his picture, and it'll take you there. Any last thoughts?
No.
You got to say hi to the wife and family and all that.
Hi, Amanda, Tristan, Austin, Jay, and Alyssa. All the Boleys.
See, that's what I'm saying. I knew you had a few to get through. Because, yeah. And your wife, she's a sweetheart. And the kids all fish.
Yeah,
and
big fishermen.
So, you know, you got the whole family out there in the water when you go. And so if you're looking for a house, you want somebody who understands the water and what it takes and where to go and do all that, give him a call. And, or, you know, just click the picture. His name will be there and all his information.
Can I get my phone number out?
You can do whatever you like to do.
Right.
I own the station. You have carte blanche, my
all
friend.
All right, I'm with the president.
941-564-5199. 5199. His cell phone, you're welcome to give him a call. He's a real nice fella. What I look for when I'm buying a house or doing anything, if I'm buying a car or a boat, I want somebody who actually understands what I'm looking for. And if you're listening to this, you're probably into fishing. You do have anything with rentals and stuff like that?
I'll tell you what, rentals are going so fast around here. It's hard. Anything that I get is gone so fast. I primarily do buying and selling. And I show homes by water, too. If you don't want to go by car, we'll go in my boat. We'll go through the canals and go to the house you want to look at.
Now, the thing about that is every time, and we right now our demographics are doing, basically we do the most in Florida, but we're big in England, we're getting bigger in Australia, and the Northeast from Minnesota to New York and parts and beyond, and hopefully we're going to start doing more in Alaska, because Robert and I are looking for a deal on a trip, Canadians, and the hard part about it is when they come down, people, they get such a mixed message on how far is it from that house until I can get into the harbor. Well, he can drive you there, guys.
Yep.
You know, he will put you, take you in, go from the mouth of the canal, and take you to the house so you can see how far, how long it takes, what the conditions are like, how deep the canals are, if there's bridges, how high is the bridge, what you can do and can't do. Now, this is for serious buyers. And if you're just schmucking around, don't bother him, because, you know, I'll come get you. I'll come take care of you. You're going to bother him for no reason. But if you're a serious buyer, because it's a lot of expense, a lot of money to run a boat back and forth like that. But if you're serious and you're really, you know, interested in homes and houses, give him a call, and he will. He goes the extra effort. So, I mean, he's a friend of mine, so I'm not sure that makes him good, bad, you know, good witch, bad witch, or a sandwich, but, you know, I like him. He's a good guy. Any last words, Ryan?
No, that's it. I believe that's the end of my knowledge for today.
Yeah. Let's see if the producer I can't even get the theme music right. I don't think that was it. So, let's see. I got one here. Now,
boy, you bothered me. Folks won't find us now because Mr. Satch and Mr. Cross.
I don't know if this is exactly you, but this is me.
Instead of just a wishing.
Bumpo, baby, bumpo, bumpo, mole.
Oh, yeah.
I can tell you, I'm an absolute. I could be that guy. Anyway, Fishing Frank and Ryan Boley, and thanks for listening, guys. Bye-bye.